Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 48.
Mizmor Memhet, Shir Mizmor Livnekora, or Livnekora, or Livnekora, or Livnekora,
or Livnekora, or Livnekora, or Livnekora. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide,
forever. And it's a life when I promote the eyes of pleasure. So we just burn them evil concepts, because we have to get this a destruction to the humanity. So we have to... Want to watch for now? Hey, check this. Check.
Jaja city, Jaja town, them off it on it in a cowboy town, aye.
We look and low.
Jaja city, Jaja town, them off it on it in a dead man town, aye.
We look and low. It's a junk on jack of fish and brown. We now are no more than in a town. This a happy gospel of kids, we got happy out. We no want no more dead body. Well, Mr. Joe kill quick. We no want no more hit. We no want no more grave. We no want no more casket. Well, life we promote, which is righteousness. Saddam get a lick. We no look and know.
Jaja city, Jaja town. Them want be turning in a cold white town. Aye.
We no look and know. Bloody city, bloody town. Want turn it in a rude white town. Aye. We no look and know. Them a tell me how them call. Big 45 we shoot out them brother mole. No pass with them cold like up at the North Pole. So them shoot down the hung, shoot down the hole. Shoot down the puss and all the dog on the pole. Every weekend them take our next payroll. Out of man pocket them shoot out Bill Paul. This Marcus Yard we no fed out his roll. Look out now.
Jaja city, Jaja town, them a fit on it in a cowboy town, aye.
Look out, no.
Jaja city, Jaja town, them a fit on it in a dead man town,
aye. Them think them reach the ultimate, yo. But them no reach nowhere yet, aye. Them get caught in the internet.
A society, I tell me them a intellect. Them promote too much debt.
Look out, no.
Jaja city, Jaja town. Them a turn it in a bad man town, aye. When I look and know, Jaja city, Jaja town. Them a be turn it in a cowboy town, aye.
Mark up your vision, 10 miles out of the city, aye. It a go get to Smithy. One is a John amigo, one is Smithy. One all the shot amigo, one all the hitty. No fuck with them kill man, without pity. Wrong kind of sip me, I'll go catch them a sippy. Shoot them, licky, licky, them sicky. Rastafari, judgment, we slew all. Yo,
Jaja city, Jaja town. Them not connecting a cowboy town, aye.
Look at you. Bloody city, bloody town. Turn it in a rude white town, aye. Aye.
Them niggas chat down in the east. Tell them to hold the peace. We no want no more coffin. We no want no more
east. Oh yeah, yeah.
Some missing our hero.
Hero. Hard.
Dark, dark, dark. it we go well. Black woman put on your baggy, that's something they no key sell. And so we get it, what the society go well. Go ask them who put the crab in a barrel. PM opposition, no, no, don't ready for real. Unite, come together, see the people of Michelin.
The paper bright, now we're plunging into darkness. We all have to play our part, make up all stars. Every disaster, every artist. Me now, I've been on the support the slackness. So, so much alcohol in our parties. While the girls are broke out and they suffer, but she drink, knock her out. Now she don't care where them crap are up.
It's so
we have ones that's a Rastafari, live in the city,
yeah.
Kingston City,
Manhattan,
yeah. Like I, you yeah. know, we live amongst our universal brothers and sisters, and Rastafari is for each and everyone. So it's not this weird thing where you have to live in the forest, no. But you have ones that live in the forest, and they hold an order for the ones like I and I, who can come in now and hold our meds, and come to these places and remove ourselves from that type of way and still confine our brothers in the midst of the jungle as well as in the city.
Exactly.
So it's a brotherhood throughout the universe.
Yeah,
iPhones included, cameras included,
yeah,
cars included,
Mark,
planes, palace, huts, rivers, ocean, the whole thing. Huh?
Yeah, and the thing about it as well is that Rastafari is not a cult. Yes.
No.
So we're not looking for more followers to say, hey, everyone has to come and be Rastafari. No, we're looking at people and their hearts.
We are all about love.
Rastafari, Africa is a must. So no matter personal cost, you have to jump on this your bus, Zion born, right?
Psalm 48.
Mizmor Memhet. Shir Mizmor Livnekora.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever.
Guide forever.
Guide forever.
Guide forever.
Guide forever.
Mizmor Memhet, Shir Mizmor Livnekora. Gadol Adonai Mehullal Meod, Be'ir Elohenu Har Kodesho. Yefe Nof Mesos Kol Haaretz, Har Tzion Yarkete Tzafon, Kiryat Melech Rav. Elohim Be'ar Menoteha Noda Lemisgav. Ki Hineh HaMelachim Noadu, Averu Yahdav. Hemarahu Kentamahu Nivhalu Nehepazu. Reada Ahazatam Sham Hil Kayoleda. Beruah Kadim Deshaber Onigot Tarshish. Kasher Shamanu Ken Rainu. Beir Adonai Tsevaot Beir Elohenu. Elohim Yehoneneha Ad Olam Sela. Dimminu Elohim Hasdecha Bekerev Hechalecha. Keshimcha Elohim Ken Tehillatecha Al Kat Ve'eret. Tzedek Malea Yeminecha. Yismach Har Tzion Tagelna Benot Yehuda Lema'an Mishpatecha. Sobbu Tzion Vehakifuha. Sifru Migdaleha. Shitu Libbechem Lehela. Passegu Armenoteha. Lema'an Tesapperu Ledor Aharon. Ki ze Elohim Elohenu Olam Va'ed. Hu Yenahagenu Almut.
Yes, a Rev Tov, Good evening, right here, Monday, the Monday podcast here on the second day of the Shavua. So Shavua Tov, a good Shavua, a good strong, a good week right here. We're in a new week here. We have another Torah reading and feeding, this weekly Torah portion reading and feeding, the 25th, known as Tzav, Shabbat Tzav. That's a modern Hebrew there, Shabbat Tzav, Tzav, from Tzawa. Tzavah, Tzavah, to command. Sabbath command. So here's the second reading. I have the second reading and feeding right here in the third book of Moshe, Hebrew book that's known as Leviticus. Now we had left off with the basic questions, for Shabbat Vayikra. That's the 24th sabbatical study. And here. Let's go over some of the discussion, some of these discussion topics. Come, as we say, make I and I reason. So here we're in the moving forward to the 25th, but here let's just go over the discussion topics, because what we find right here, there's a bill that's going on, a bill, basic bill. So right here we have about six discussion topics for Shabbat Vayikra, Shabbat and He Called, Shabbat Vayikra. Shabbat Vayikra. Here, Leviticus chapter 1 to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 7. Some of the discussion topics right here. First item, the climax of Sinai was called the Sinai climax. You know, Mount Sinai, Har Sinai. The climax of Sinai was the mitzvah. Right? The commandment to construct the tabernacle, the Mishkan HaMishkan, to construct the tabernacle. So the climax of that revelation at Mount Sinai was to construct the tabernacle. That in turn is centered upon the laws, the Torot. The Torot is the Torah in the plural sense. In other words, there's the direction instruction of the altar, direction instruction of the brazen altar, which is distinct from direction instruction of the golden altar of Aishans, the direction instruction of this offering, direction instruction of that offering, you know, all together one comprehensive direction instruction. But here we have the centering, right, upon the directions and instructions, the Torot of HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach. What is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is the altar. So let us reason, make I and I reason, come, and discuss the narrative. The narrative here of redemption beginning the blood of the Lamb with the blood of the Lamb in Mitzrayim, in the two lands, in the Tawi, that's called Egypt. The giving of the law code, the Torah code, to Yisrael, and how these right here relate the sacrificial rites. How do they relate to the sacrificial rites? And what do you think HaElohim, the Elohim, the true Elohim, the true good, the true God, was trying to teach Yisrael? What do we think with these direction instructions as we go over it right here in the third book of Moshe, in the handbook, what's referred to as the handbook, right, of the Kohanim, the laws of the Kohanim, of the priests, the Sefer Vayikra, the book of sacrifices? What do the I think that Yahuwah Eloheinu, I and I Elohim, was trying to teach Israel through this sequence of revelation that we have right here. So first discussion topic, reasoning topic, is concerning the climax of Sinai, of Har Sinai, of Mount Sinai, being the commandment to construct the structure, right, known as the tabernacle, that in turn centered upon the laws, the direction instructions, the Torot of HaMizbeach, the laws of the altar. Discussing the narrative of redemption beginning that begins from Shemot, known as Exodus, the second book, the blood of the lamb, and the theme, even the theme covering, even among those within Christianity or those who are Christian, especially among the called, chosen, and faithful, right? The theme of the blood of the lamb. But even that, via, it begins, according to the Revelation, with the narrative of redemption right here, beginning with the blood of the lamb in Mitzrayim, the giving of the law code to Yisrael, and how these relate to the sacrificial rites. And what do we think? What do we think, right, that Elohim was trying to teach Yisrael through this sequence? There's a sequence here of revelation. Come. Make I and I discuss, make I and I reason here. The second topic of discussion that's directly connected with Shabbat Vayikra, the 24th sabbatical study, before we move forward right here. The second item, in modern English, when you hear the word sacrifice, what do you think about? What comes to mind? All right. See, in modern English, the word, quote, sacrifice, end quote, it usually, right, usually it means an act of self-deprivation. You're depriving yourself. When we give up something of value for the sake of a greater value. Check. In modern English, the word sacrifice, and we use this word sacrifice, or we often hear the word sacrifice being used in modern nowadays English, it usually means an act of self-deprivation, to deprive yourself. When we give up something of value, we're giving up for the sake of a greater value. That's what it means in modern English. So we talk about the book of sacrifice, you know, right here, Leviticus, third book of the HaTorah, of the Torah, right? Third book of Moshe right here. And we see the word sacrifice, reading it from low degrees to high degrees, we see the word sacrifice. And we have our own ideas that we have become familiar with of what sacrifice means, right? We give an example right here. That sacrifice usually means an act of depriving oneself. Deprivation, right? And the essence of this is to give up something of value, right? Like like somebody say they're sacrificing, and what they're sacrificing that doesn't really have any value to them or to anyone else. It's not really a sacrifice in the truer sense, even in modern English, of the word sacrifice. But sacrifice means giving up something of value for the sake of a greater value. That's just in the world, we could say, in the English basic sense. But in HaTorah, right, in the Torah, however, the idea of sacrifice has more to do with making an offering to HaElohim, right, to Yahweh Eloheinu, Ayinah Elohim, as a means of drawing near to him. See, to even present that offering, one must draw near. You know, they must draw near to the holy place, right? And also drawing near to the altar, right? In other words, where it says, none shall, where it says in HaTorah, where it says, three times in a year shall the males of Yisrael present themselves, and none shall appear. None shall appear, right? Empty. Right, Reikam. Remember Yeshua, Robeno say, don't call, you know, when calling their brother like Raka, like empty. That's the same sense. But none shall appear, right, empty, right? So in drawing near, there's an offering that is brought. This is the Torah, the basic Torah sense. The idea of sacrifice, because we have the word korban and karban. One might say in modern English, korban, but in the Hebrew root, the karob from karab means to draw near, right? So it has to do with making an offering to Yahweh Eloheinu as a means, right? A ways and a means of drawing near to him. So here's the reasoning, right? Discussion topic number two right here. is there a real distinction here? Is there a real distinction here between the so-called Mardan idea of sacrifice, right? Or do these really mean the same thing? In other words, the two ideas, the Mardan sense of sacrifice means usually an act of self-deprivation, depriving ourselves of something, usually something of value, giving up something, usually something of value for the sake of a greater value. In the Torah, this idea of sacrifice has more to do with making an offering to Yahweh Eloheinu, right, to Ha Elohim, as a means of drawing near to him. So is there a real distinction here between the modern English sense of the word sacrifice and the central idea, right, in Ha Torah, in the Torah, Jah's direction instructions? Here, here, here. Discussion item number three. Come, come, come. Make I and I reason. Let's reason on this right here. Third discussion topic here. The very first sacrifice that's revealed in the Torah. What's the very first sacrifice that's revealed in the Torah? The very first sacrifice that's revealed in the Torah, or more commonly in the Bible, right, was offered actually by Yahweh, by Atzmo, by Jehovah himself, when he slaughtered a lamb to cover the shame of Adam and Hawa, or Hava, Adam and Eve, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. So the very first sacrifice that's revealed in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Torah, or translation of the Bible, right, is that which Jehovah himself offered when he slaughtered the lamb to cover the shame of Adam, right, Adam, v'Hawa, v'Chava, right, and Eve, according to Genesis 3:21. Now, later, Adam's sons, Cain, v'Abel, v'Hebel, right, Cain and Abel, right, they made offerings, but only Abel's, right, only Abel's offering was accepted. Why was only Abel's offering accepted? Now, name other examples of sacrifices that were offered to Elohim before the construction of the structure known as the tabernacle. Name some other examples of sacrifices that were offered to Yahweh Eloheinu, to Elohim, before the construction of the tabernacle. Hear, hear, hear. Discussion topic number four right here. Come, come, come. Make I and I reason. The Brit Hadasha, the Adis Kidan, otherwise known as the New Covenant, called the New Testament, explains that Adonenu Yeshua, that Yeshua is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices required at HaMishkan, at the tabernacle. And we are declared righteous, tzaddik, tzaddikim, righteous, righteous ones, when we trust in him as our Kohen Gadol, as our big priest, as our high priest of the Brit Hadasha, of the new covenant with Elohim, with his Elohim, our Elohim, his father, our father. Now, Christians are now called, those in Moshiach, Nazarenes, those in the way, truth, and life, are now called to offer, quote, sacrifices of praise, end quote. So those in the way, truth, and life of Yeshua HaMoshiach, Nazarenes, Meshachawiyan, Messiahites, or as ones are called even nowadays, Christians, are now called to offer, quote, sacrifices of praise, and to live as Korban Chai, What is Korban Chai? Korban Chai, Korban Chai, Korban Chai, a living sacrifice, Lifnei Elohim, before Elohim, the true good, the true God. So come, make we reason and let's discuss what these things mean. What does these things mean? Considering how the New Testament explains that Yeshua HaMashiach is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices required at HaMishkan, particularly those sacrifices concerning sin, right? And we are declared righteous when we trust in him as our high priest, Kohen Gadol, of the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha, with Elohim, the true good, the true God. Therefore, those in Christ, those in Moshiach, Christians, Messiahites, Nazarenes, are now called to offer sacrifices of praise and to live up, right? To live as Korban Chai, as Korban Chai, which is living sacrifice. Living sacrifice, Korban Chai, or Korban Chai, Korban Chai. So let's discuss what these things mean, Chabarim. Here. Come. Fifth item of discussion, the Bible. The Bible is described, right? How is the Bible described? Well, in many different ways, but here for this discussion topic right here, fifth one, the Bible is described as a, quote, a book of blood and as a bloody book, end quote. Have you heard that? The Bible is described and has been described as a book of blood and a bloody book, end quote. You see, the sacrificial system functions as a, quote, parable, a mashal, as a parable, misale, as a parable, as a mashal for us, for I and I, or as a metaphor of Hailahim, of the true Elohim's redemptive plan, later revealed in the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Yeshua HaMashiach, where propitiation for our sins, or offering in a sense for our sins, was made, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. By faith, right, by way of faith, emunah, admittance, amen, right, by faith, we, quote, lean our hands up on the head, the Rosh, the Ras, the Rosh of Yeshua, trusting that he is our sin bearer before Ha'ab, before the Father. So let's discuss the divine, quote, life for life, end quote, principle. Let's discuss what is known as the divine life for life principle of Yeshua's life given for you, given for I and I. Here, come. Make I and I discuss. Come make with reason right here. Sixth and final item right here, right, for Shabbat, Vayikra here in discussion topics. Sixth item, participating in a substitutionary sacrifice ritual. It causes the sinner, the lacker, right, to recognize the nature of his offense and his culpability. His culpability, his mea culpa. Quote, were it not for Elohim's acceptance of this sacrifice, in my stead, I would merit a place up on the altar, end quote. Let's go over that again. Participating in a substitutionary sacrifice ritual, such as what we have here in HaTorah, cause the sinner, the lacker, the ucker, the guilty, to recognize the nature of his offense and his culpability. That means being responsible, as you say, his mea culpa, right? This is kind of what is said by one who recognizes. Were it not for Yah's acceptance of this sacrifice in my stead, instead of me, I would merit a place up on HaMizbeach, upon the altar. Now, this idea is similar to the theology of, quote, penal substitutionary atonement. What is penal substitutionary atonement? That is Yah, Ha'Elohim, the true Elohim's demand for justice is satisfied with the exchange of a sacrificial victim's blood. Remember another one that said that Bible was described as a book of blood and a bloody book, right? And it says without blood, there is no, you know? So here, this idea is similar to the theology of penal substitutionary atonement. That is Elohim's demand for justice being satisfied with what? With the exchange of a sacrificial victim's blood. In other words, punishment for chet or chatiyat, sin, akri, missing the mark, must involve the shedding of blood. This is a very ancient principle, and even here in HaTorah, it's the principle, right? You could say behind the principle. And the sacrifice, quote, it pays the penalty. The sacrifice, in other words, pays the penalty, right, for the sinners, the ukkah, the lacker's offense, the offender's offense against a set-apart Elohim, a holy God. Now, let's discuss this here, the idea of substitutionary atonement, right? Substitutionary atonement, and also let's put atonement within its more Hebraic context, where atonement, the kapar is like a covering, that which covers, you know, almost like when they're like an insurance policy, this covers that, substitutionary covering or atonement. How are your sins, the chatiyat, the chet, sin, lack, forfeiture, imputed or imputed to Yeshua? How are your sins, your ukkaries, imputed or imputed to Yeshua? And how does his blood, damo, how does damo cleanse you from chatiyat, chet, and mavet? How does his blood cleanse you from sin and death? Come, make I and I reason. Here's some discussion topics right here for Shabbat, Vayikra, Sabbath, and he called. Many are called. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, with that right there, we're moving forward to for the Shabbat Tzav, Shabbat Tzav, Shabbat Command. Here we pick up here the 25th sabbatical study here of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 8, verse 36. All right, here we have, okay, here the questions pick up, about 29 to 30 questions here. Very, very important section right here. But to that theme, Chavarim, or sacrifice, let's just share this one right here. Again, psyche and symbol, soul, the soul, right, the psyche, the mind, the soul and symbol, ritual sacrifice right here. I think this is Joseph Campbell.
The animal associated with the moon, as the lion is associated with the sun, typically is the bull, whose beautiful horns resemble or suggest the horns of the crescent moon. And as the moon dies to be resurrected, so in rituals, the bull is killed to be resurrected. You can't have new life unless you have old death. These things go together. And they're celebrated in the myths of, in the rituals of sacrifice, the bull sacrifice. In Egypt, in Mesopotamia, among the Greeks, and anywhere where there were bulls is frequently the prime sacrifice. It's charming in India when you see families in a little bullock cart going to a festival. The horns of the bullocks will be decorated. The horns of the bull are the lunar signs. The bull is associated with Shiva. Fraser in The Golden Bough, I think, has made the point irrefutably that the prime sacrifice in the old early kingships was the king. This is the young Cretan king. You never see pictures of old Cretan kings. There's a cycle frequently of about 8 years associated with the cycle of the planet Venus, where the king is killed. This is the book, The King Must Die, which brings this thing forward. And then substitute for the king was the bull. In Egypt, for example, the Sed festival was a festival when a very special bull was sacrificed. Now, the attitude of antiquity to sacrifice is something that I don't think we can appreciate very well. The animal sacrificed or the young person sacrificed was perfect. Anyone with a flaw was unworthy to be sacrificed. And the big surprise, the thing that really lets you know that it's another psychology, comes when you read about the ball games of the Maya Indians. The ball courts, this is a ritual game, and the captain of the winning team was beheaded in the field by the captain of the losing team. It's the winner who is worthy to be sacrificed, and that is the climax of a life. I don't think, as captain of a basketball team, I would urge my team with great enthusiasm.
Something to think about right there. That's one of the aspects of sacrifice. Remember, in discussion topics, modern English words, sacrifice usually means an act of self-deprivation, when we give up something of value for the sake of a greater value. In HaTorah, the idea here is that sacrifice has more to do with making an offering to Elohim as a means of drawing near to him. So that distinction with sacrifice, but also within that there is some interesting principle that in true sacrifice, even among ancient peoples, the principle was that that which was sacrificed was thought of being perfect. You see, we have, I think, a warped idea like they're going to sacrifice somebody because they just don't like. But there must be a thought of this one being perfect, being a suitable offering instead of. Remember that last discussion topic right there? Were it not for Elohim's acceptance of this sacrifice in my stead, I would merit a place up on the altar. But here it's that first idea of sacrifice. Here, Queen Omega will make a sacrifice. Here.
You really think it's easy being an artist? But you don't know the sacrifice we make, the journeys we take. That's why I'm here telling it straight. Never see the right and the wrong side. You only see the fame and the limelight. You only see a rising star, but you never know that I come from far. The long journeys and the tiring trips, when I'm on the road, love fills me up in chips. Today I'm in Trinidad, tomorrow in Brazil for a big, big show. I've got to work, I've got to pay the price, I've got to work, I've got to sacrifice. Respect to the working class, lazy body better get off your ass. Got to work, gotta sacrifice, got to work, in a different life. When you put your shoulder to the wheel, what a good sight you will come. I go to the north and I go south, I go east, west, so I'm all about doing my work up on, chatting with the most, I am well on course. Radio interviews and the sound check, jingles, the plate, and I just can't forget. Working class,
lazy, but they better get off your ass. Got to work, gotta sacrifice, got to work, got to pay the price. When you put your shoulders to the wheel, what a good, good sight you will feel.
Shabbat Tov, Shabbat Tov, Shabbat Tov. Modern Hebrew Shabbat, Shabbat Tov, or Shabbat Tov, command, Tov, 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 command. Here we pick up with Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, to Leviticus chapter 8, verse 36, right here. Now that's especially like in the English, we find that there's an interesting difference of numbering. I think we know that in the Parsha Aliyot, the portions when read, when there's a difference from the Hebrew text to the English text, according to like the numbering, which is kind of arbitrary, but there's a Hebrew numbering, and then sometimes the English numbering generally favors it, but then there are areas where it's different. But here for Shabbat Tzav, Shabbat Tzav, Shabbat Tzav. Tzav, command. Tzav, modern Hebrew, tzav, 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 command. Tzawa, command. Here we have a synopsis right here for this 25th sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong. Synopsis and the overview. Once again, recall that the climax of the revelation given at Har Sinai and Mount Sinai was the mitzvah, the commandment to construct the sanctuary, otherwise called Ha-Mishkan, the Mishkan, or the Tabernacle. Nearly half of the book of Exodus is focused on the Tabernacle, and the book concludes with the Shekinah glory of Elohim filling the Holy of Holies section of the tent. The book of Leviticus begins right where the book of Exodus left off, with Ha'ilehem, the Elohim, the true good, the true God, calling, Wa Yikra, calling out to Moshe from the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moed, to explain the various living creatures, the animal, and the grain offerings, collectively called Korbanot, that may be offered at the new tabernacle. So here for this Shabuah, for this strong in this week's Torah portion, many of the Torot, directions, instructions of the sacrifices given are repeated. Though this time, Moshe addressed HaKohanim, the priests, directly, and provided additional details about how to perform their functions. For example, HaKohanim, the priests, the Hebrew priests, the anointed ones, let's say the Christians in the camp, because they're the only ones who are called anointed ones, who is required as a requirement of their function to be anointed. For example, the Kohanim were to ensure that the fire, the Esh, the Issat, the fire of the altar, never went out. And that the whole burnt offering known as the Olah, was consumed as it burnt throughout the night. Additional rules concerning the removal of ashes from HaMizbeach, from the altar, the portion of the offerings that were given, that were to be given to HaKohanim, the priest, and the cleansing of the utensils are also given. Hear. Now, each Kohen, if you please, was obliged, each priest was obliged to bring a grain offering, mincha, often referred to as the mincha. So each priest is obligated. Each priest was obliged to bring a grain offering that's known as the mincha or the mincha. Mincha, but often in modern Hebrew sound like mincha, the mincha. We'll say something like mincha, but in Hebrew, the mincha. Now, what's interesting about this right here, in King James Version, you'll find this offering often referred to as the meat offering. But more properly translated, the mincha offering is the meal offering. And the meal offering, right, which in the KJV is called the meat offering, is actually a bloodless offering because it's really the grain offering. Do a short on that. On the day that he served in the sanctuary. So once again, each priest was obliged to bring a grain offering. Mincha, on the day that he served in the sanctuary. And the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was required to bring a grain offering each day. So every day that meal offering, that mincha offering, priest was required to bring that each day. Half of that was burnt upon the altar in the boker, the morning, and the other half in the afternoon. Now, grain offerings, the mincha offerings brought by others were regarded as food for the Kohanim. So when others of Yisrael brought their grain offerings, their meal offerings, right, this was regarded as food for the Kohanim, food for the priests. After a handful had been removed to be burnt upon the Mizbeach. So you're getting a picture of what was required, a basic of these principles here. It's very interesting, right? Because each priest was obliged to bring a grain offering, mincha, on a day that he served in the sanctuary. The high priest was required to bring a grain offering each day, and half of that was burnt upon the altar in the boker, the morning, and the other half in the afternoon. Grain offerings brought by others who were not priests were regarded as food for the Kohanim, for the priests. That's only after a handful. So when other people bring their meal offering, right, this is the food, right, but before the priest could receive that as food, a handful had to be removed to be burned upon the Mizbeach. Likewise, portions of some of the living creature sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, were given to the Kohanim, to the priests, for food. And this is only after the fat, the chalev, and the dam, the blood, had been removed and burnt on the Mizbeach. So even this principle here, of before the priest could consume of those offerings, which HaTorah, which direction says are theirs, they had to first remove that handful, right? that handful, and some of the portions of the animal, right? Likewise, the portions of some of the animal sacrifices, not all of them, but some of the animal sacrifices were given to the priests, you know, for food. But that's only after what had to be removed, what were they forbidden to eat? The chalev and the dam. The fat, the chalev, and the dam and the blood. So the fat and the blood had to be removed, likewise burnt on the mizbeach. Now, after these toros, right, these laws, direction, instruction were given, Ha'ilahim instructed Moshe to consecrate Aharon and Banav and his sons for their service in the kahuna, for their service in the priesthood. Now, what did this involve? This involved washing them with water, right? Even a kind of a symbol, symbolic of baptism. This involved washing them with water, arraying them in the priestly garments, and anointing them with the holy oil. This is why we say they were the literal Christians or anointed ones in the camp. During the ordination, it becomes a shadow, right, of the substance of the Brit Chadash, right, of those who have been made priests and kings. It says, during the ordination ceremony, a sin offering, a chatat, and a olah, a burnt offering, was slaughtered on behalf of the Kohanim, the priests. And then a special, quote, ram of ordination. A special ram of ordination, which is referred as the El HaMiluim, the El HaMiluim, the El HaMiluim, was slaughtered. Some of this ram's blood was put on the right ear, right thumb, big toe of, and the right big toe of the Kohanim, the priest, and the rest was sprinkled around the Mizbeach, the altar. The sacrifice was then waved. Here we get an ancient, a true type of what the making of the cross is a kind of a shadow of, if you can over it right here, this waving in the four cardinal directions, right? The sacrifice was then waved, lifnei Yahuwah, and its meat was eaten with unleavened bread at the entrance of the Mishkan. This is all part of the ordination of the Kohanim, right? Aharon u'banayo, Aaron and his sons, Aharon u'banav, were thereafter required to remain within the Mishkan, within the tabernacle, for 7 days and nights until their period of consecration was complete. Now, one interesting note about even the word consecration used in this sense, it has a sense of filling, right? So we read the word consecration, when we look at the Hebrew sense, it's like filling them. Right? It's like the sense of filling, you know, filling them. Even within the ram of ordination, El HaMiluim, almost like a ram of fullness, right? And so the consecration of the priest has a lot to do with their being filled, right? They're being filled. But right here, Chaburim, basic synopsis right here for this 25th. Sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, for Shabbat Command. Here, we have a psalm. Let's touch on today's daily psalm according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews after the order of Malkias Edek.
Here we have today's daily psalm. We have psalm 9.
Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast, like the beast, like the beast, like the beast, the perish, 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 the perish.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Here, 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 today's daily psalm, we have Psalm 49, Mizmor Mim Tet, Mim Tet, Psalm XLIX, and his theme, Death the Leveler. I'd like to go into, you know, kind of a deeper dive in today's daily psalm right here, 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 but that theme right here, today's daily psalm, Death the Leveler. Here, look, Rhema, a tune from Lloyd Sparrow, Clark, classic, heaven, actually it's hell and death. Check this, Super Dog.
Can't be in heaven when you are can't live in heaven when you are awake. The preacher knows the truth. The rich man, he knows it too. Hell and heaven are conditioned in life.
Livnei Korah Mizmor.
Shimuzot, call Ha'amin. Hazinu, call Yoshve Khaled. Here, the superscription plus the first verse in the KJV, Hebraically, these are the first two verses. KJV reads, the chief musician, Lamnatzeach, to the Menatzeach, the chief musician, musical leader, to the overcomer also in the Hebraic sense, even in the New Testament, Menatzeach, the overcomer. But in this context here, Lamnatzeach, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah, Livnei Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Note right here, the ye in the KJV, in those sections we see it italicized, it's not really there. So more of the force of the Hebrew, hear this, all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Hear. Shimu zot. Hear y'all this. Call ha'amin, all the people, all the arms, all the peoples. Call ha'amin. Hazinu, broaden the ear. Hazinu, broaden the ear, y'all. Hazinu, call Yoshve Khaled. Call all Yoshve, those who sit, who sat up, Khaled. All ye inhabitants, all you sit-uppers in the Khaled, in the world. But right here, let's go over the overview for today's daily psalm. According to the royal order, here we have Mizmor Mimtet, Mimtet, Psalm 49, Psalm XLIX, and the theme, Death the Leveler. Now, the link between this Mizmor, this psalm, and the group of three that precedes it, is that they are alike addressed to all your peoples. So it didn't say just like Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, but it said, call ha'amin, all the amin, call ha'amin, all the peoples. So the link between today's daily psalm, Mizmor Mimtet, and the group of psalms, the three that preceded, so we have 48, right, 47, we have 46, those three that precedes it, is that they are all alike, together, addressed to all your peoples. The latter called upon all humanity, right? The latter that's called upon all humanity to acknowledge Elohim's kingship, to acknowledge Hailahim's kingship, the true God, the true good's kingship. Now this deals with a problem, right? A problem that exercises the mind of all thinking persons and should be read in connection with Psalm LXXIII, with Psalm 73. Psalm 73, Psalm LXXIII should be read in connection. Wealth, for example, wealth. Wealth is seemingly unequally distributed. Some possess more than their due share and derive from it power and authority over the poor, over the poor. Now, this seemingly unfair arrangement must be due to divine ordering. Yes? So, if so, how is it to be explained? The solution that the psalmist and I put forward here is that the might of wealth is limited. The might of wealth is indeed limited. For example, it cannot ward off the oncoming of death, no matter how much one might have. They can't ward off. It's limited. Cannot ward off the oncoming of death. And at its advent, the rich are reduced to the same level as the poor. They're on the same level. Their wealth doesn't really matter, right, to their condition. If that truism were born in mind, were kept in mind, wealth would not breed insolent pride. And in that thought, the poor, in their seeming disability, may hope and expect for the ultimate triumph of right, the ultimate triumph of good over evil. The psalm, the mizmor, the chant right here, it has been appointed, Psalm 49, it has been appointed for recital in the Yehudi house, in the Judaic, the Judahite, and even the Jewish house of mourning. Key, check this note right here, that this psalm, Psalm Mizmor Mimtet, has been appointed for recital in the Yehudi house of mourning, in the house of mourning. Right here. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews and after the Order of Malkiah Tzedek, we have Psalm 49. So here we'd like to go through today's daily psalm in a little bit more detail right here, because of significance as well as to its content and theme. So here, let's just ride up right here. Look at Ray Matoon right here. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order. Right here, we have the Wailers, M.L. Cohen, the Hebrew, Down Presser, Dubwise version.
מזמור ממתת למנצח לבני קורח מזמור שמעו זאת כל העמים האזינו כל יוש וחלד גם בני אדם גם בני איש יחד עשיר ואביון פי ידבר חוכמות והגות ליבי תבונות עתה למשל אוזני אפתח בכינור חידתי למה אירע במרע, עוון עקבי יסובדני, הבוטחים על חילם, וברוב עושרם יתהללו, אך לא פדו יפדה איש, לא ייתן לאלוהים כופרו, ויקר פדיון נפשם, וחדל לעולם, וכי עוד לנצח, לא יראה השחד, כי יראה חכמים ימותו, יחד כסיל ובער יובדו, ועזבו לאחרים חילם. קרבם בתמו לעולם, משכנותם לדור ודור. קראו בשמותם עלי אדמות, ואדם ביקר בליילין, נמשל כבהמות נדמו. זה דרכם כסל למו, ואחריהם בפיהם ירצו סלע. כצון לשאול שתו מוות, ירעם וירדו בם ישרים לבוקר, וצורם לבלות שאול מזבול לו. אך אלוהים יפדה נפשי מיד שאול, כי ייקחני סלע. אל תירא כי יעשיר איש, כי ירבה כבוד ביתו, כי לא במותו ייקח הכל, לא ירד אחריו כבודו. כי נפשו בחייו יברך, ויודוך כי תציב לך. תבוא עד דור אבותיו, עד נצח לא יראו אור. אדם ביקר ולא יבין, נמשל כבהמות נדמו.
Here, today's daily psalm, Death the Leveler, Psalm 49, Mizmor Min Tet, also the psalm that's appointed for recital in the Yehudi house of mourning, theme, Chabarim, today's daily psalm. So, as you mentioned, the superscription, Hebraically, is often counted as the first verse. So, that verse there for the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, right there, Lamnatzeach Livnei Korah, the Bnei Korah, sons of Korah, Mizmor, a chant, intonation. So that's the first Hebraic verse right there, and in the KJV, what is regarded as the first verse, Hebraically, is the second verse. So we're going to pick up right here. So this would be like verses 2 to 5 in the Hebrew. Here, this would correspond. Let's just, since we are going to go from the Hebrew to the English right here. Let's see this right here. Okay, so this will be actually 1 to 4, right? Here we have verses 1 to 4 from the KJV. So let's pick up right here with the Beit verse, the second verse Hebraically, that is the first verse in the translation, King James Version of the Bible, that reads in the Hebrew, Shimuzot kol ha'amin, hazinu kol yoshbei chaled. Translation, hear this all people, give ear all inhabitants of the world. So within verses 1 to 4, we have the exhortatory, to exhort, to build up, the build-up introduction, the exhortatory introduction right here. And here, this section right here, beginning off with hear this, shimu zot, hear this, kol ha'amin, ha'azinu. Broaden the ear. Translator says, give ear. Literally, the Hebrew word azin, the ear, has a sense of broaden the ear, like make ears in a sense. Hazinu, y'all, speaking to you all. Call, or speaking to all, the Yoshbei, right? The Yoshbei Chaled, all the inhabitants of the world. All ye peoples, here in the Hebraic sense, all ye peoples, call ha-amim, all the peoples. Literally, it's all the peoples. A question of universal, non-partial interest and application is to be discussed. This is something that is universal, right? Not just for call Yisrael, or for Amo Yisrael, but it's for Kol Ha'amim. It's for all the Amim, all the peoples. World, inhabitants of the world, Ha'azinu, broaden the ear. That is to say, give ear, Ha'azinu. Call all Yoshbei Chaled. Call Yoshbei Chaled. Modern Hebrew, call Yoshbei Chaled. Call Yoshbei Chaled, call Yoshbei Chaled, all the inhabitants. Let's zoom into this right here. Well, first let's go to the give ear, because the Shim'u is related to the Shema, speaking to an individual male, Shema Yisrael, speaking to all Israel as one man. Here, Shim'u, give ear, y'all, zot, this, call ha'amin, all the peoples, ha'azinu is from azan. Azan means to listen, to hear, to listen, right? Azan, right? The root ozen, to broaden out, has implication like broadening out the ear because of the word ozen. Ozen, the word for ear. So ha'azinu, broaden the ear, y'all, call Yoshbei. Call all Yoshbei. Yoshbei come from Yashab. What is Yashab? Yashab, the age 3427, according to the Strong's Concordance, Yashab means to, BDB brings it out as to dwell, to remain, to sit. The Kal sense, the basic sense, is to sit down, to be set. It both means to sit and the context of to be set, to remain, to stay, in the sense of to dwell, to have one's abode, to have one's abode. In a deeper sense, it can also be to marry in that sense, when we just look at the root sense of the word. But in the context right here is all y'all who are seated, right? Call Yoshbei. The seaters, the inhabitants of Yoshbei, 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 the inhabitants of, it's a constructive sense, so that means it's just the inhabitants of, but something needs to follow it. The word that follows it is chaled, chaled. What is chaled? Chaled here is translated as world. Now, some familiar with Ivrit, of Hebrew, Yehudit, know that also olam, also has a sense of world. But what's the difference here? The chaled comes from the Hebrew chaled. The age 2465. BDB brings it out as an age, a duration of life, and in this sense, the world. But as we get to more of the root, the ancient root sense of this, it means to glide. In the more primitive sense, the chaled is to glide swiftly. Age, right, as a duration of life, and therefore the, quote, world, end quote. Right? Chaled, chaled, life. Life in the sense, right, in the sense of fleeting. Fleeting. It glides along, right? Where did time go? Right? A fleeting portion of time. The chaled. So the very unique word for world use, right? And one might think that the inhabitants of the world is inhabitants of the olam, but it's not using the olam sense of world, but the chaled sense of the world. Why? Because chaled means to glide swiftly in the sense of life as fleeting portion of time, and in the context of world as something that is transient, right? It's changeable, it's changing, right? The sense, the Hebraic sense is like something that of a short time, right? This construct that we call the world and life, in other words. The Hebrew chaled. We also find this in some XVII. What's that? That's Psalm 15, 16, 17, 17 and 14. Let's just go there for a moment. 17 and 14. What does Psalm 17 and 14 say in this connection, since the word chaled, chaled is used there? 17 and 14. Where's this word right here? It says, from men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, from men of this short time, this age, this duration, lifespan, this time, this simulation that passes seemingly so swiftly. It says, from men, thy hand, O Yahuwah, from men of the chaled, the men of the world, that have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid, the sense of hidden treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babe. So there we find the word chaled, chaled, being used there in the sense of man's temporary, his temporary place of abode. The choice of the word right here Hebraically prepares the reader and the intelligent hearer of the Ivrit, of the Yehudit, the Hebrew, right, for the theme of the song. It's just in the Hebraic context, because just looking at the word world, one would get one sense of world, but the Hebrew specifies the chaled sense of world because it's this temporary place of abode, right? The fleeting of time, the transience of this life, so to speak. So here. Let's go to the next verse right here. That's now the first verse. And the second verse, who is being called here? Remember, it's a kind of a continuity of ideas in these two verses here, right? In the KJV, the opening first and the second verses is a continuity of idea. Here at the second verse, KJV-wise, third in the Hebrew, but the second KJV-wise, it says, Gam, Adam. Gam b'nei ish, yachad, ashir, with evyon, both low and high, rich and poor together. So the fuller sense, shimuzot, kol ha'amim, hazinu, kol yoshvei, chaled, gam b'nei adam, gam b'nei ish, yachad, ashir, with evyon. Both low and high, rich and poor together. Now, both low and high, the KJV brings out usual translations, low and high. But what does the Hebrew say? The Hebrew says, gam, both, or also, like both in that sense, also both, gam is like a kind of sense of in the Hebrew, like also, gam, also, or it can have a sense of both. Also, b'nei, the sons of Adam. So when it says in the King James and translation, the low amongst all peoples and all inhabitants of the chaled of the world, the low there, according to the Hebrew, is the b'nei, the sons of Adam, mankind, one might say, in general. And then it says, gam b'nei ish. Then we have the high are called B'nei Ish. So the Hebrew actually says, both ye, y'all, sons of Adam, men generally, in general, right? And ye sons of Ish, men of higher station, men of higher standing. So when you see in the Hebrew the word man, or we see in translation from the Hebrew man, you have to often ask, I wonder what the word in the Hebrew there for man is, because it brings out a clearer context. We have this also in Psalm 4, verse 3. Let's just go there right here. Just getting a basic foundation of today's daily Psalm 4, verse 3. It says, O ye sons of men, how long shall my glory be put to shame? B'nei Ish, right? So we have B'nei Ish here, not B'nei Adam, but we have B'nei Ish. Adma, Kavodi, Lika, Liklima, Kavodi, Liklima. How long will you, shame my Kavod, my glory? But here, that is where the idea that the Ish, right? That's one of the places in Hebrew. So Ish is men of higher station. It's interesting because in the Garden of Eden, when the woman was brought to him, he said that she shall be called Isha, because she came out of Ish. So even Adam at this point had a higher, you could say understanding, and then say, well, you will be called Adama, because he came from the Adama, proverbially speaking, his mother, or the Adama, the ground, the earth, the Adama, Adam from the Adama. But when he saw the woman, he says, you shall be called Isha, because you came from Ish. Right? Just these distinctions here, because both low and high is both ye sons of Adam, B'nai Adam, and the high is B'nai Ish. So the message is for all people. Basic point here. Also for all sections of human society, but especially and in particular, the so-called well-to-do. Rich and poor, yachad, Here it's interesting, in the Hebrew it says yachad, 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 right? Yachad. That's the sense of yachad is like united, united, the sense of yachad. But here when we look in the Hebrew, this is usually attached to the next verse, the sense of together, right? As one, yachad, yachad, ashir, ashir. The ashir, who is the ashir, right? Ashir, or sometimes pointed as the oshir, ashir, the oshir, is the rich. We're evyon, ve'evyon, we're, and the ebyon, the ebyon, the ebyon. Remember there was a sect of early Nazarenes, or once was called them Christians, who were known as the Ebionites. The Ebionites, you come from this idea, the poor ones, because ebyon, ebyon, or evyon, ebyon means the poor one. So yachad, together, the ashir, right, the rich, we're ebyon, and the poor. The rich were to derive a sobering, right, and the poor from this a comforting lesson from what they are about to hear, right here, here, here. So this verse right here, 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 moving forward right here, these first four verses, in these first four verses is the build-up introduction, the exhortatory, to exhort, exhortatory introduction. So here this brings us to this verse, to verse 3, right here, here, here. The English KJV says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom and the meditation of my heart of understanding. Now, I avoided the word shall be there because that's italicization. And when we study the Hebrew side by side, we get to see that that italicization is not there. Here, the Ivrit, the Hebrew, pi yedaber, pi yedaber hakmota, we haguta libi tevunot. Here, here, here for the second. This third verse here, my mouth, P, my mouth, yidabir, will speak. P, yidabir, hakmot. What's interesting right here is that hakmot is the plural of hakma or chokma, chokma, wisdom. Here we have hakmot. We have like wisdoms. We're hagut. And the meditation, the hagut, libi, the hagut, with hagut, libi, and the meditation of libi, of my heart, tevunot, of understanding, but more the Hebrew sense here is plural as well. We have tebuna in the singular sense of understanding, intelligence, and here we have tebunot, will be of like understandings or understanding in the most excellent sense. So wisdom, understanding, as we find it here within this third verse right here, 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 as we find it right here, we have chakmot, plural, tibunot, plural, wisdom, understanding. Both words are Hebraically in the plural. And this, according to the biblical Hebrew context, it denotes profound wisdom. It's like wisdoms, all as one. Understandings, all as one. Denoting profound wisdom and deep insight. Chakmot, profound wisdom. Tevunot, deep insight. Understanding, understanding, overstanding. Wisdom, chokmah, in the singular sense, in the Bible corresponds to moral, for lack of a better word or sense, a moral philosophy, the Hebraic moral philosophy. Understanding, tibuna, is enlightenment upon a perplexity of human experience. And for the Talmudim, the fellow Chavarim, the study Hebraically of the book of Proverbs will bring that out. These foundational senses of these particular attributes, even as they be, can be understood in that context right there, there, there. But here, here at the fourth verse, let's go to the fourth verse right here, K KJVY, as it reads, I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. This fourth verse right here, Hebraically. Ateh le mashala azni eftach be kinora chidati. Ateh, I will incline the sense of like to stretch out, to extend, right? The sense of even bending, bowing, but the sense here, like I will stretch out, le mashal. I will focus, to say I will focus my attention upon the proverb, the parable. Ateh le mashal, to a mashal. Azni, my ear. I will incline, ateh, I will stretch out, extend, to say extending the ear, azni le mashal. To the mashal. Mashal is to say like a parable, right? A proverb, a parable. The book of Proverbs, Mishle Shlomo, the parables of Solomon. Eftach. I will open. Eftach. I will open bikinor, on the kinor, on the harp. Chidati. What is a chidati? Mahida. Chida is a riddle. A chida is a difficult question, like an enigmatic saying, a perplexing saying or question, like a riddle, an enigma, perplexing questions, even a sense of double dealings. Also, an idea of a chida can be seen as a conundrum, a trick in the sense of a puzzle, a sententious maxim, right? A dark saying, because it's brought out as a dark saying right here. Inclining my ear, ateh, azni, right? Ateh, to receive instruction from Elohim, Hailahim, the true God, that comes in the form of a parable. This is the link here, even for the book of Proverbs, to receive instruction from Elohim, the true good, the true God, that comes in the form of a mashal, a parable, right? And what is a mashal, a parable? One way of defining it is as an oracular, something, a word, sound, oracular utterance in poetic style, an oracular, like a word, sound. You know, like a verse, you know, a word sound, right? But it's poetical, but within that one has to kind of understand. There's a deeper understanding. Numbers chapter 23:7 brings out a good example, right, from and in the Torah of what we have as a mashal. And the book of Proverbs also has mashal. And Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, Yeshua HaMashiach, also he gives forward these parables as well. Dark saying right here. I will open my mouth. I will open my dark sayings, Slicha. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. They already said in the verse before, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. Eftacha bikinor chidati. I will open my chidati, my dark saying, chidati, up on or by way of the harp. One can say musically, bikinor, on the kinor. What is a chida? The chida, right, is a dark saying. The Hebrew is used for a riddle. A riddle is usually a chida. And here, say, chidati, my riddle. And also, as we have here, for a pronouncement up on an enigmatic problem, an enigmatic problem, enigma, right, a puzzle. But how does he seek to do this? Upon the harp, right? To the accompaniment, right, of string music. B negi note. So here, the exhortatory introduction that we have here in these verses right here before we ride up. Take a Selah moment and pick up. Yes, sir. Right.
Psalm 49. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their saying. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee, and thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast, is like the beast, is like the beast, that perish. That perish, 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 that perish.
Here, today's daily psalm is Mormim Teitmim. So the first four verses right here, going through the exhortatory introduction. Then in verses 5 to 12, we have wealth and death. Theme here is wealth and death. Verses 5 to 12, KJV, Hebraically verses 6 to 13. But in the King James Version, just to ride along right here, here, here. Here we pick up with the the fifth verse, KJV wise. The Hebrew says, Lama ira, be may ra. Aon or avon akolai yesuveni. Now, this is an interesting verse here because KJV often brings it out as, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. Now, note that the word when, KJV-wise, is not there. We also have this likewise in the Hebrew, but there's one particular word that there is two readings of it from the Hebrew. It's interesting, the KJV, you know, adopts the MT or the Masoretic text view that we have translated here. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil the iniquity, strike the when right there, that's not there, the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. Hebraically, it's brought out right here as interesting. Here it says, lama, why, for what? Lama, why? Lama ira, I to fear, be in the yemei, in the days of ra, in days of ra. Now, ra is interesting because ra, word for evil, it can refer to even like the context, contextually, like a evil man or evil person. But the sense of evil is very interesting, and it is also very peculiar, right? What I mean by that is harmful days, bad days, days of sadness, days of, anything that's not good and beneficial, right? So this is the Hebrew sense. When we talk about evil or evil days. Hold on for a moment. Let me do this right here. All right. Yeah, so here it says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? But there's an alternative reading to this too. When the iniquity or the iniquity of those who deceive me surrounds me. Now, Hebraically, this particular verse is brought out in the KJV. The KJV to reflect the Masoretic. So let's get to this verse right here, this particular word in this verse. First part of the verse, first, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? Lama ira. Why I to fear? Why will I fear? Lama ira. Bimei ra. Times of suffering. Yemei ra'a, the bimei in the days of ra, times of suffering from the injustice of the rich who use their privileged position for their own advantage by exploiting the poor. This is the context, right, of this here in today's Daily Psalm. Lama ira, bimei ra. Now, here is the part that is somewhat interesting, looking at translations. So here where it says, the iniquity of my heels, you check that right there? The iniquity of my heels is how the King James Version brings it out. Hebraically, coming from the Hebrew right here, when the iniquity of my supplanters compasseth me about, the iniquity of my supplanters, right? So the MT vocalizes, the Masoretic text, they say vocalizes my heels, right? Ikabai. But then also we have the vocalization right here of akubai, which can be supplanters, or in a contextual sense, one's deceiving, right? Yesubeini, they encircle me, right? My supplanters compasseth me about. Wealthy neighbors who deprive him of his rights. Because from a certain reading, as we have in the KJV, My Heels, which you could see it like that, My Heels, but then it kind of throws off the fuller context of the translation. If you take that verse by itself like that, you know, we can apply it like, yeah, man, you know, I did bad when I was young, and now, you know, I'm reaping what I sow. You know what I mean? That's one way of interpreting the verse from how King James Version, where it says, the iniquity, like, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels come past me about, right? This almost, like, puts this, like, on me, like, yeah, I must have done something right here. But the full context is, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, times of suffering, the injustice of the rich who use their privileged position for their own advantage, exploiting, harming, right, and trotting down the poor. And therefore, the my supplanters, I, right, here brings out this sense, the iniquity of my supplanters, those who seek to, interesting thing about Akab, as we have Yaakov, the name Jacob from, to supplant. In that sense, but it also has a sense of heal, the heal, you know, and the sense of consequences, right? But let's move forward right here. Here we can return to a kind of further investigation of the two interesting, you know, readings, you know, of this, right? Some bring out the sense of when wickedness of those who deceive me surrounds me, the wickedness of Akubai, right? The wickedness of those who deceive me, Yisubeini, they surround me. This is when bad people are all around me. This is that context here, right? While King James uses another translation, when the iniquity of my heels compass me about. I don't know if ones and ones are getting how there's like two interpretation of that. One, like I said, the normal, usual KJV, it seems to put the onus like on an individual, and one can lift that particular verse from there. You know, as some of us, even I, have read that verse like that in the KJV and then studying the Hebrew, I say, wait, I get that. I could say, yeah, why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels come passing about, the things I did, they coming back to me. Yeah, you can get that meaning from it. But that meaning does not fit the fuller context of the psalm. How do we know this? Well, right here. Let's go to the next verse in this section here, this section that is properly themed, wealth and death. Verse 6 right here. Let's go to verse 6 right here. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. You know when they have a thing in school called reading comprehension, right? As old English poetry, okay, hands down, great old English poetry. But when you get a sense comprehension from the other sense, iniquity of my heels can pass me about, you know, it almost seems to say something that it doesn't when you move to the next verse. But when you keep it in the context of wherefore should I fear in the days of evil and iniquity of my supplanters, those who seek to deceive me, you know, to cheat me, you know, are compassing me about, of them that trust in their wealth, going on with the idea, because remember in the proper text, it's a semicolon or a comma, the idea continues in the next verse, of them that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. So this brings out even a sense of a question, you know what I mean, within the Hebraic sense. So here, let's bring out the Hebrew right here. Habotachim, al chelam, u beroba, ashram, yita halalu. They boast. But they boast because they're wealth. Yita halalu, the halal. Yita halalu. They, in the sense of they boast themselves. It's a hitpael sense. So it's reflexive. It's like they're doing this, but they're doing this for themselves. Yitahalalu, right? Let's break this down right here. Trust in their wealth. As the righteous have faith or trust in Elohim, Yahuwah Eloheinu, for their support. So the rich who put their trust in their wealth as the means of obtaining security, as a means of obtaining security. Ha bot achim, the bot achim, they are confident, the confident ones. Al chelam. Now here's the interesting of the word chelam. Chelam comes from the Hebrew, the H2428, chayil, chayil. As you have chayla, chayla, power, chayil. We have chayil, the H2428, which the BDD defines as strength, might, efficiency, wealth, and army. So chayil, chayil, chayil is Hebrew. Chayil, right, as in chayle, but chayil is Hebrew. It has a multi-level application. Literally, it's strength and might, something that prevails over, like a power that prevails over, like efficiency. But it can be wealth, and Hebraically, it's usually used for army. Strength, also ability, efficiency. If somebody had ableness, like we have the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to verse 31. The Proverbs has the virtuous woman, and the Hebrew calls her Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil, or Oset, Eshet Chayil, Chayil, a woman of strength, a woman of power, right? Can also mean a woman of wealth, a woman of ability. In another sense, especially a modern sense, it's like a soldier woman on a certain level, woman of force, because the word Chayil also means force, army. But the context of this is activity as well, one who is able, right? You know, is vigorous in that sense, virtuous. Because if you look up the word virtue, virtue actually means like strength. The word virtue, literally from its etymological roots, it means strength, right there. But now in this context, they that trust in their wealth, right? They that trust in their wealth can also be interpreted as those who trust in like their power, right? Ha botachim al chelam in their chayil, chelam, upon their strength, upon their power, upon their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude, and how enough, they are rich. How enough, the Hebrew brings out an interesting sense. U berov, modern Hebrew, uvrov, robe is like multitude, enoughness, robe. If you read it, in English it's like rob, but actually the Hebrew of the pointing, the cholem sense, the robe, multitude, robe, abundance, robe, greatness, robe, enoughness. Right, the enoughness, and in the enoughness, ashram of their osher, their riches, ashram, yitahallelu, they make there's something that they say in English, which kind of basically comes from this ancient sense right here. You know, they boast themselves. They halal. You see, the elilta can be done for Yahuwah to boast in him, or one can boast in themselves. And this is what them do. Going on to the next verse, the seventh verse right here, KJV-wise, in this section of Psalm 49, wealth and death. Here it says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to Elohim a ransom for him. Let's look at this right here. Yes, I. There's some interesting verses here as well. Okay, no, I'm just looking at some pointings right here. Let's go to the basic Tanakh reading. It says, ach, brother, ach. Not ach, but ach, lo fado, yiste ish, lo yitain, le lohim, kafro, no man, well, it says none of them or none can by any means redeem his brother nor give to Elohim a ransom for him. Ach, a brother, lo fado yisteh, ish, lo yitain l'Elohim kafro. Here, redeem his brother. One thing cannot be bought off at a price, and that is redemption from the final end that comes to all men. See, some people reading this verse, they'll say that nobody can redeem, nobody redeem, but you see elsewhere in the scripture where one can redeem, right? See, the context of this psalm and the context of this section is wealth and death. Right, they're making a point to ransom, to rescue, to deliver from death. The sense of fada, or pada in the other pointing of it is to sever, right? In other words, when death gets a hold of mine, death gets a hold of mine. In other words, that no man can, you know, like buy a next man his brother's way out of it. This is the sense. Not that there is not principles even in HaTorah, right, for redeeming, like the kinsman redeemer, buying back your brother from, you know, a debt servitude or something like that. But from death, no man can redeem his brother. No price, no redemption, right, can be offered from the final end that comes to all men. Not even an ach, a brother. One to whom the rich man is attached by a close friendship, close kinship and an intimate friendship, can be saved from natural death by the power of money. If he cannot do this for a brother, for someone else, how much less can he do this for himself? So the idea here of ransom, right, we have an idea here of ransom. The KJV brings this out right here. It says none can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to Elohim a ransom for him. You have to remember that these verses, though they're verses, it's not the complete thought. It's a complete thought or idea that's leading to a continuation of the thought, a build up of the thought. The psalmist right here has in mind and uses the language of the law of Exodus 21 and 30. Let's go there for a moment. So there is a limited sense redemption, kinsman redeemer, for example, you know, and we can point to that. This is what some people say, oh, it contradicts itself. No, some things in translation and lack of diligent study, you may confuse yourself. You may imagine a contradiction. But here in Exodus chapter 20, 21 and 30, let's go to 21 and 30. It says, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. All right, check. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. But here in today's daily psalm, it's talking about more than just that. But that is there, just a point of reference. Because some might want to point to that and see that there, but not under these conditions. Because the conditions are going to be brought out even much more. Let's go to the next verse right here, verse 8. Verse 8, KJV says, now here in some Bibles, King James Bible does this too. They put in what they call a parenthetical. What is a parenthetical? Parenthetical is where they put something in parenthesis. And you wonder, well, why is that? When they did this back then, did they put this there? Some would say this is like an idea. They want to set this idea a little bit aside. But in the Hebrew and elsewhere, this idea just continues to flow. The Hebrew don't have this parenthetical. Here in verse 8, Psalm 49, verse 8, it says, for the redemption of their soul, precious, and it ceaseth forever.
Here we have this right here. For too costly is the redemption of their soul, and must be let alone forever. So bringing out more of the Hebraic sense right here, it says, for too costly is the redemption of their soul, and must be let alone forever. We yekar, pidyona nafsham, we yekar, and precious, pidyon, the redemption, nafsham, their soul, we chadal le'olam, no payment. The idea is like the redemption, right? For the redemption of their life is costly, and no payment is ever enough, right? Too costly. Yekar. It is beyond the means of a wealthy man. Because remember, the context here is speaking about wealth, death, the leveler, right? And this section of wealth and death, that though you got wealth, some things you can't redeem. You can't redeem your brother, so you can't even redeem yourself when death is coming. Yekar, too costly. It is beyond the means of a wealthy man to offer a ransom to save his friend's life. When Ha Elohim had decreed his death, and must be let alone forever, or as King James KJV says right here, it says, and it ceases. You see, it says it ceases. Ceases. The word is chadal. Chadal, to stop, to cease, to desist, to forego, to cease to be, to leave undone. To leave undone. But the Hebrew sense also properly means to be flabby. Literally, if you go to the primitive root, to be flabby, right? That is, by implication, to desist, to be lacking, or to be idle, in this sense of cease and fail, forbear. So the Hebraic sense that we bring out is, and must be let alone forever. Wechadal le'olam. Le'olam. Wechadal le'olam. Must be let alone forever. It were useless to think of attempting such an impossible transaction. I mean, the rich man got so much riches, right? What? How much he going to give to Yahuwah Eloheinu? What's he going to give? You know, how is he going to open up that negotiation to make such a transaction, right? It were useless to think of attempting such an impossible transaction. This verse is, some say, parenthetical. And verse 10 continues, right, verse 8. Some say that the 10th verse, right, rather, you know, here the 9th verse coming forward, right, continues the idea. What is the 9th verse? Let's move forward to the 9th verse right here. KJV first up. That he should still live forever, not see corruption. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. We he, and he living odd. We he odd, and living odd. Like still, or going on in a sense, and living, going on, we he od la netzach. Interesting, right here we have netzach, as we say menatzeach. We have netzach, la netzach, here in the sense of forever, right? Lo yireh ha shachat, lo not yireh. And he not seeing, that he won't see, lo yireh ha shachat. He will never see the shachat. Literally here, we have shachat is the pit. Shachat is destruction. Shachat is like to say the grave. That he should still live always. That he should still live. Netzach can also have a sense of like overcoming. In a sense, like in La Menatzeach, that he should live, he should still live always. We he od La Netzach, that he should not see the pit. Lo yireh ha shachat,
that he should not see shachat. He should not see the pit, destruction. Corruption is what has been translated there, but really it says like the pit. So to say, to experience death, this Hebraic idiom, right, to experience death, as we have in Psalm 16 and 10. On to the next verse here, verse 10, right here. Verse 10, for he seeth, see, it's interesting, think about the sense of see it, right, that he should not see the pit. Lo yer'eh ha-shachat. Then it says, ki yer'eh, for he seeth. Right? So he should forget this idea that he should still live always, going on with his wealth and everything, that he will not see ha-shachat. He will not see the pit like to say everybody else. But then the next verse, verse 10, picks up with ki yer'eh. For he will see, this is what he's going to see. For he see that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. This is a key idea. For he seeth, ki yer'eh, hakamim, yamutu. That the wise one, hakamim, yamutu, that they die. Yachada, kasil with ba'ara, obedu. And the fool and the brutish person, the kasil, right? And together, yachad, together, the kasil, the fool, wa ba'ar, and the stupid person or the brutish person, yobedu. Yobedu, that they perish with azbu, right? And they kind of like azbu, almost like a person like giving up like a place, an apartment or something. What's azbu? Leave, but it's a little more forsake, like they forsake, like they leave something behind, right? Leave behind la acharim chela, to others, to acharim. La acharim, to others, chaylam. Remember the word chaylam? Chaylam, their wealth, their might, their power, chaylam. They forsake and they leave, you know, they leave to others their wealth, right? Here, what's he going to see? Right? He should not think that he will not see the pit. Lo yereh, right? Hashachat. But ki yereh, hakamim yamutu. That even the wise ones might die. It must be obvious to the wealthy, right, that death comes to all men. Not just nowadays, but even from ancient times. You know, even in ancient civilization, they built lovely tombs and everything, but still, death came to them, right? Whatever their character or status, right, this is what this verse brings out right here. The fool, the kasil, the ba'ar, right, the brutish or stupid person, you know, the wise person, hakamim, you know, yamutu, right, they perish, they die. Wise men die. Hakamim yamutu. Wise men die. Wisdom, chokmah. Yeshua Rabbeinu says that wisdom is justified by all of her children, right, but wisdom, which is far superior to riches, does not bring exemption from death, right? Even wisdom, which is far superior to riches, does not bring exemption from death. That they, yovedu, the verb, yovedu, it suggests that all trace of them is lost. Sense of perish in a sense, yovedu, the abadon sense, yovedu, is lost. On the other hand, wise men die, their life comes to an end, but get this, but the effects of their activity survive. So even though the wise men die, right, just like everyone else, right, if they truly are wise, the effects of their activity survive, but they leave their wealth to others. Whereas vu, la acharim, to the acharim, to others, chaylam, their wealth. they azvu, right, to the acharim, the chaylam, their chayim, their power, their wealth. They leave their wealth to others. At death, class distinction based upon material possessions at once ceases. Quote, in the hour of man's departure from the world, neither silver nor gold nor jewels accompany him. None of that can go with him. Of course, ancient man, right, from Mitzrayim, the Tawi, and even before, attempted, right, to give the daily departed some comfort by burying the silver, the gold, the jewels, like it was really going with them. But then somebody else said, no, it's right here for me. And leave, was it to others? Wa'azvu la'acharim chaylam, and leave their wealth to others. But only Torah and good works accompany men, right? Only Torah and good works, right, accompany man. And even Chokmah, even wisdom, right, of herself cannot prevent that. You know what I mean? If it's decreed, right, by her master, our master. However, you know, it, true wisdom does accompany man because that is Torah and that is good works. But here, this is complete. Let's get to a full of this section here. We're going from verses 5 to 12 in Psalm 49. Here we're at verse 11. Verse 11. Their inward thought, their inner thoughts, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. The inner thought, their houses forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They call lands after their own names. I didn't read the italicized parts of it because, you know, we see the secret in a sense that the Hebrew, the force of the Hebrew, take out the italicized portions and you get more of the force of the Hebrew. But here, Kirbam batemo le'olam misha kenotam le'dor wador ka'u bishmotam Elei Adamot. Elei Adamot. Ah. So here, this section here, the inward thought. Kirbam. Right? Kirbam. Batemo. Right? Le'olam. Kirbam. Kirbam. Karab. Karab is like what is near. What is near to us. So Kirbam is like their nearness. Right, essence of their inner thoughts. The only consolation that the rich can have is that their property remains in the possession of their descendants and their name is perpetuated by being attached to their estates. This basically kind of sums this portion up right here. Kirbam, their inner, what's really in the midst and inner thought, right, is batemo. Batemo, their houses le'olam, that their houses are forever, are eternal, right? Misha kenotam, right? And their dwelling places le'dor, from generation, wador, and generation. Kar'u, they call bishmotam, be by way of shemotam. Their shemot, their names, Elei Adamot, Elei Adamot, their lands, their Adamas, their lands. They call their lands, you know, by their names, you know. Here, verse 12 here, just to fulfill this section right here, verse 12 right here. Right, even though some would carry it to the next verse because of the Selah. We might carry it to the next verse because of the Selah. But here, this verse, KJV, says, nevertheless, so everything that just preceded went through verse by verse, right? Almost like an indictment, like these accounts of an indictment, right? It says, nevertheless, man in honor abideth not. He is like the beast, perish, as a force of the Hebrew. Nevertheless, man in honor abideth not. He is like the beast, perish. It has a force like he is like the beast that perish. He's like the beast, perish. All right? Hear, hear, hear. But man abideth not in honor. Some bring it out as KJV. Nevertheless, man in honor abideth not. The Hebraic translations, but man abideth not in honor. He is like the beast that perish. The Hebrew right here, we're Adam. Bikar, bikar, bal yalin, bal yalin. But Adam, bikar, 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 yikar, yikar right there, yikar. Yeah, yeah, man. It almost has a man of preciousness, of pomp and splendor in a sense, of wealth, of dignity. That sense of honor, not the kabod, not the kabod sense of honor. Remember, it says Adam. Notice it uses the term Adam. It says low b'nei Adam and high b'nei Ish. And here it says where Adam bikar, but Adam in a better word in wealth. Kind of like, but Adam having wealth, but people having wealth, you know, in that sense, like people having wealth, it really has that sense. Bal yalin cannot really last, don't really abide, don't really, you know, really go on, you know, it's like a fleeting thing. Nimshal, 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 liken, the mashal, a parable, nimshal is like. Ka behemot, ka behemot, he's like the behemot. Nidmu, nidmu, nidmu. He's like cattle that are ceased, that are cut off, that are destroyed, that are dama, dama. Literally, he's like cattle that are silenced. The literal Hebrew sense can be destroyed, but the dama has to be like silenced from the dama. So he is like the cattle that are silenced, in a sense. He's slain like the cattle. What's interesting about this right here, seeing that we're also when we study the third book of Moshe on sacrifices, and we start to study and say, well, why were these different animal types given? You know, why did like a wealthy man, right, that was caught in a certain lack or uckery, he would have to give like a bull, you know, like a precious, you know, an expensive animal, while a poor man could just bring grain. You know what I mean? It's a very interesting reasonment, but how the likeness of these animal types right here, right? Nevertheless, man being in honor, right? A man being in honor, people having wealth, don't go on. They're just like the cattle that are silenced. This verse right here, here, here. And let's bring it up to this Selah verse, right? This Selah verse right here. But man abideth not in honor. Better. So man in his splendor abideth not. All that he prideth himself on, his accumulation of land and other forms of property avails him nothing. Physically, his end is the same as that of the cattle. Physically, his end is the same as that of the cattle. And thus it brings out this sense in the Hebrew. It says, Nimshal, he is likened ka behemot to the cattle nidmu. Translator says perish, but the sense of it Hebraically is that are silent. He's like silenced cattle. He's like cattle that is silenced, in other words. But the next section coming up here, 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 just looking at the reason and the time right here. The vanity of wealth, the triumph of the upright. So the section that we just went through right here, wealth and death, verses 5 to 12. We have the opportunity here to pick up with verses 13 to 20 right here, here, here. Habarim, habarim, right here, here, here. Let's share this little word right here, here, here. Bob, for a moment.
Look more, Jones.
Come in.
Come
here. Let's pick up right here. Usually one might probably break it at the Selah, but here just scroll into the verse before, verse 12 again. But man abideth not in honor. He is like the beasts that perish. Where Adam bikar bal yalim, nimshal kabahimot midmu. Here, bringing us right here to verses 13 to 20. Vanity of wealth, triumph of the upright. Zedarkam kesela lamoe achrehem abifihem yirzu selah. This their way, their folly. This their way, their folly. Zedarkam kesela mo. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Where achrehem, and those who come after them, where achrehem, befihem, in their mouth, yirtzu, they approve, they favor, yirtzu. Selah, pause. The kesem, kesem, the kesem, foolishly self-confident, the santir zet, darkam, kesem. Right, this is the way of them that are foolish. Zedarkam kesel. This is the way of them. This is the way of them that are foolish. Kesel lamo. Approve their sayings. In the Hebrew sense, it says we're achrehem, and those coming after and after them, the ones are after them. Right, befihem, befihem. This is like, say, their mouth, in their mouth, in their mouth, yirtzu, in their mouth, they approve. We're achrehem, befihem, yirtzu, selah. Approve their sayings. Literally find pleasure in their mouth. Befihem, yirtzu. Befihem, yirtzu. Find pleasure. They adopt the same attitude as their predecessors. They too will meet with a like fate. With a like fate. It's interesting when you hear certain sayings and you say, oh, this is a saying, this saying. Start to break down these sayings. Kolavis kesel, zedarkam keselamo. Right? We achrehem abefihem yirtzu. Selah. Pause. Verse 14 right here. Verse 14. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. KJV right there, katsona, lishola, shatu, mavet, yir'aim, wa yirdu, pam, yisharima, laboker, we suram. Le balot shol miserable low. Here. This is nice fat verse right here. Let's break it down. Like sheep. Katson. Like sheep. Corresponding to like the beast. In verse 12, their wealth cannot save them from descent, from going down to Sheol, where death takes control of them. So it says, Katson li sheol shatu. Like sheep, they are shatu. They are appointed for the Sheol. Katson li sheol shatu. Death shall be their shepherd. Mavet yir'aim. Mavet or mawet, mot. Mavet yir'aim will be their shepherd. Literally, yir'aim. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Wa yirdu bama yisharim labokar. And their form shall be for the netherworld, the Sheol, to wear away, and their form shall be for the netherworld to wear away, that there be no habitation for it. With Urama Levalot Lebalota Sheola Mizabulau. The upright. Here we have the upright. Yisharim. The Yisharim. Those who are Yashar, the Yisharim, the upright ones, who had been the victims of their lawlessness, then and now triumphs over them. When is then Laboker, 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 Laboker. Where's the Boker? We say Boker Tov. Good morning, good dawning, good in the morning. It is doubtful whether this means the morning of resurrection, the Boker of the resurrection, after the night of death. Probably some say that the word is used metaphorically of the light of deliverance after the darkness, the disillumination of suffering. We have Psalm XLVI. We have Psalm 46 and 6. Their form. What about their form? The perishable body. This will crumble to dust. And another one gone. And another one. Yes, the dust. And finally have no need for an habitation. When it says their strength will be consumed, or in the KJV, their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Hear, 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 to verse 15, Chavarim, verse 15, KJV. But God, but Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. So here we have another Selah pause right here, here, here. Ak. Elohim, ak, ak, for sure, shonuf, ak, not ach, ach is brother, ak, for sure, certainly, no doubt about it, ak, indeed, right, indeed, Elohim, yifteh nafshi, Elohim will redeem my soul, he will redeem she, her, my soul, ak, Elohim, yifteh nafshi, miyad Sheol, from the yad, from the hand of Sheol, from the hand of the netherworld. Miyad Sheol, ki yikacheni, ki for yikacheni, he will receive, he will receive me, yikacheni, selah. The KJV says he will receive me, yikacheni, he will lakach. The sense can also be he will take me, right? He will take me, right? Receive me. But here, the key point here in this verse right here, here, 15th verse, redeem my soul. Redeem my soul. Hebraic that's brought out as yifteh, yifteh nafshi, yifteh, he will fada, yifteh nafshi, my soul, ak, Elohim, yifteh nafshi, for sure. Elohim will redeem my soul. Some modern commentators do not see in this verse an allusion to the doctrine of immortality. Some people might see it there. The same view was taken by one named Rashi. Now, the psalmist expresses his confidence that unlike the foolish who rely upon their wealth, chelam, to save them from the perils that endanger life, he will be protected by Elohim from a premature death. Accordingly, the verse gives the answer to the question in verse 5, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? The question here, Lama ira bimei ra. Lama ira bimei ra. Lama ira bimei ra. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? And here, 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 ak, Elohim, yifteh nafshi. For sure, Elohim will redeem my soul. Therefore, he and I and we have no reason to fear being under the divine protection, the guidance and protection. Here, here, here. Moving forward to the next verse here in this section right here. We have verse 16, Chabarim. KJV up first. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Al tira, don't be afraid. Al tira, ki ya asher ish, ki yirbe kavod beto, the glory, the kavod of his house. All right, be not thou afraid. Al tira. Ki ya ishir, when becoming rich, ish, a man, ki yirbe, to increase, yirbe, to rabba, to become nuff, ki yirbe, what to increase? Kavod beito, the kavod of beito, of his house. Here. There's a little overflow note here. From the power of the netherworld in the previous verse, right? Literally from the hand of Sheol, from the coming under its sway through the incidents of death, he shall receive me. Ha'elohim will rescue me from peril. The verb is the same that rendered took. Right, took in Psalm 18 and 17. But be not afraid. Al tira. Remember, he asked the question, Lama ira. Why will I be afraid? Al tira. Now he tells, be not thou afraid. Having learned the lesson himself, he exhorts others to adopt it. What lesson? Al tira. Don't be afraid. The glory here, the kabod here, is actually wealth. When it says, when the glory of his house is increased, when the glory, ki yirbe kavod beito, this is to say the wealth, the magnificence that wealth can and sometimes do, right, provide. But here, verse 17, Chabarim, verse 17, when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Right here. Kilo bimoto yikach hakol lo yereda achrai bikavodo achrau kavodo. His kavodo will not go down after him, like follow wherever he is going. Now, this is interesting, just for more Chabarim. The thought here is Job chapter 1, verse 21, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 14. That is also brought out right here in this verse. Well, let's go to the next verse right here. Time. Here it says, though while he lives, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Ain't that something? Men will praise you when you do well for yourself. It's kind of funny. It's so truism here in this particular verse, verse 18, Chabarim, here. Ki anafsho b'chayau, b'bared, v'yoduka, ki tevi, Ki te tiv lach. When you do well for yourself. Ki te tiv lach. When you do well for yourself. Though while he live, he bless his soul. Men will praise thee when thou do well to thyself. But get the first part. Ki for nafsho his soul. Bechayayo ye barek. While he lived, with yodu ka, yodu, and they praising ka, they will praise you, with yodu ka, kia teitiv lak, when you do well for yourself. In his life, having had his portion with which he was satisfied during his lifetime, he did what? He blessed his soul. He basically, the Hebraic sense of this right here, ki anafshoa b'chayayo b'barek, yibarek, yivarek, yivarek, he bless. He bless his soul. He congratulated himself on his prosperity and power. And guess what? Men, yoduka, they will praise thee. And they will praise thee when thou doest well for yourself. Kitetiv, lak. The words are, some say, parenthetical and addressed to this type of person. He not only indulges in self-congratulation, but others also, so he congratulates himself and others praise him. But others also praise him when he uses his influential position to enrich, right, to enrich himself. Here, verse 19, Chavarim, verse 19. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Tavo ad dora abotai. Ad netzah lo yeru or lo yeru or lo not yeru them seeing or they will not see the light. Right? They will not see the light. It shall go. And the Hebrew really says it shall go to the generation of his fathers. Tavo acts as a female sense. It's like she shall go. Some imply that she will be his soul. Tavo. Tavo ad dor abotayo. Abotav avotayo. Goes to the generation of his fathers. Right here. The subject is his soul from the preceding verse. To the generation of his ancestors' fathers. This is an idiom, Hebraicism, for dying. Like he was gathered to his fathers. They shall never see light. Better, who shall never see light? These who will never see light. Lo yeru or. They will not see or. They will not see light. For him, as for them, the darkness of Sheol, of the netherworld, will be everlasting, will be eternal. Here. See if we can fulfill this right here. Man in honor and understandeth not is like the beast. Perish is like the beasts that perish. Man. Adam bikar willowa yabina nimshal ka behemot nidmu. Man that is in splendor and riches, man who has riches without understanding, is like the beast, the cattle that are silenced. This is a repetition of the 12th verse with the substitution of understandeth not for abideth not. And the phrase employed here strikingly emphasizes the moral of the psalm. There is nothing sinful in being rich, and a wealthy man may be as righteous as or better than a poor man. When, however, he glorifies only in material prosperity and fails to appreciate the value of the spiritual and of the moral virtue strength, he then lacks the understanding of life with its God-given, its Elohim, Hailahim given purpose and sublime opportunities. His existence is merely animal, like cattle, and he perishes and he is to be silenced like the beast. Even the beasts that perish. That's the sense there. We caught that in the previous verse where it says, ka behemot, and like the behemot, like the cattle, right? Nidmu from the Hebrew dama. And what is dama? Dama is to be silenced, is to be dumb, is to be rendered, in a sense, not speaking. Here, just on the outro right here. Let's have the Hebrew on the outro right here. Yes, Chavarim. Yeshua Shalom, Chavarim.
מזמור ממתת למנצח לבני קורח מזמור. שמעו זאת כל העמים, האזינו כל יושבי חלד, גם בני אדם גם בני איש, יחד עשיר ואביון. פי ידבר חוכמות והגות ליבי תבונות. עתה למשל אוזני, אפתח בכינור חידתי. למה אירע במרע, עוון עקבי יסובדני. הבוטחים על חילם, וברוב עושרם יתהללו. אך לא פדו יפדה איש, לא ייתן לאלוהים כופרו. ויקר פדיון נפשם, וחדל לעולם. וכי עוד לנצח, לא יראה השחד, השחד, השחד. כי יראה חכמים ימותו, יחד כסיל ובער יובדו, ועזבו לאחרים חילם. קרבם בתמו לעולם, משכנותם לדור ודור. קראו בשמותם עלי אדמות, ואדם ביקר בליילים, נמשל כבהמות נדמו. זה דרכם כסל למו, ואחריהם בפיהם ירצו סלע. כצון לשאול שתו מוות, ירעם וירדו בם ישרים לבוקר, וצורם לבלות שאול מזבול לו. אך אלוהים יפדה נפשי מיד שאול, כי ייקחני סלע. אל תירא כי יעשיר איש, כי ירבה כבוד ביתו, כי לא במותו ייקח הכל, לא ירד אחריו כבודו. כי נפשו בחייו יברך, ויודוך כי תציב לך. תבוא עד דור אבותיו, עד נצח לא יראו אור. אדם ביקר ולא יבין, נמשל כבהמות נדמו.